Pray with me, won't you? Dear Creator God, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, and may they make sense. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the day before my children go off and do something new, like begin a new school year or something big, like go off to Triennium, I feel the need to prepare them, to impart lessons that maybe I didn't get to when I had more time. Things they need to go off, or they need to know before they go off into the world without me. And these are lessons like be kind, or lessons like don't worry, everyone is just as nervous as you are. Or perhaps even more important lessons like good tattoos aren't cheap and cheap tattoos aren't good. And another more recent lesson that I had to just impart to my sweet Mia is don't eat random pieces of candy you find lying around because you don't know where they've been. Sometimes in a closet for 2 years. I don't know. I try to get it all out really quickly before the car door closes and they are off. I feel that sense of urgency. How much more urgent was Jesus' need to tell his friends what they needed to know? He needed to impart these important lessons to his disciples to remind them and us what God wants us to do and be. Jesus identifies himself with those in need. He gathers the least of these into relationship, calling them his family. If you help someone in need, you are helping Jesus. If you disregard someone in need, you are disregarding Jesus. When we read this scripture, it's very clear that how we treat people is important to God. In fact, our very souls are at risk. Verse 41 says, we are to depart from Jesus into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels if we ignore Jesus, who shows up in the guise of the person who is hungry or homeless or a stranger. This stark punishment shows us how important this command is and how serious the consequences are if we neglect it. How many here attended the baked potato dinner that we shared with Arvada Presbyterian Church? Yay! It was fun. It was fun, right? It was a night of sharing food together, getting to know each other, just kind of fellowshipping with each other. And then after the meal, most everyone went upstairs to the sanctuary for Ash Wednesday service, while some of us stayed behind to clean up. And before you start to feel sorry for us who stayed behind to clean up, I want to share something with you that happened that those who went upstairs may have missed. So we had our meal, we enjoyed ourselves, it was a great night of fellowship, and then everyone went up. Those of us stayed behind, doing some cleaning, some chatting, and during this time, I noticed a young man, kind of disheveled, eyes a little vacant, sitting at one of the tables. I didn't recognize him, but there were many new faces that evening, and I thought maybe he was a member of Arvada. But, you know, I didn't think that much about it, but then I also kind of thought, what was he doing down there? Everybody else had gone. Maybe he arrived late. Maybe he just wanted to get a quick bite before he went upstairs. I don't know. So he didn't seem to be in much of a hurry. He was just kind of hanging out. I'm cleaning the tables, just kind of keeping him in my sight line. And then I see Brian Flack fixing a plate for him and putting it down in front of him and sitting down and chatting with him. And I'm gathering more dishes. And then I see Dan Yont has arrived and joined Brian and this young man at the table. And they talk, the guy eats, he eventually leaves. And later the fellowship team is in the kitchen shooting the breeze, and Brian comes around. And I ask him, Brian, who was that guy? And Brian relates that he came upon him during his round surveying the property. He was sleeping on the lawn. Brian had checked in with Dan, and they both agreed to invite him in and give him something to eat. To my question, who was that guy? An entirely acceptable and appropriate response could have been Jesus. On the evening of an Ash Wednesday service, Brian and Dan welcomed a hungry stranger and fed him. They, in their simple invitation, embodied the essence of Matthew 25, 31 through 46, to provide for the least of these. How we treat those who lack food, drink, shelter, clothing, are sick or in prison is a measure of how we, in fact, would treat Jesus. In so many ways, members of this faith community have understood this message so well. Who remembers Gaius? We call him G. Yes, nice. So who remembers he was a refugee seeking asylum here in the U.S. due to religious persecution in his native Tunisia? Through Nate Stewart, we were introduced to G, and Nate and others assisted G with transportation and a place to stay and companionship, and we came to know him as a young man who was so passionate about his faith that he was willing to leave his family and start fresh here. Now G has his green card, and he's married. So yay! It's hard to say who was more blessed by welcoming this stranger, him or us. Trinity also participates in Making Choices. Making Choices is a program that partners female inmates with mentors. These incarcerated women learn to avoid the traps that get them into trouble, and then they set and achieve goals for themselves for life on the outside. Members of Trinity participate in this ministry and attended the graduation from the program, and that is Visiting Jesus in Prison. Our members work with Growing Home and Joshua Station and the Stocking Project and Habitat for Humanity and so many other projects. It is clear that Trinity has a heart for mission. The difference between neglecting those in need and helping those in need is engagement. We are to be engaged in the world around us. How did Brian come upon this stranger? It was easy. He went outside, quite literally that easy. He left the four walls of this building and went out into the world. Now, Brian could have ignored that guy trying to take a nap on our lawn, but Dan and Brian connected with him, welcomed him in, and fed him. And now that person knows that Trinity is a place where one's needs can be met. Engagement in the world is the way we can encounter the stranger and attend to their needs. Engagement in the world also addresses another challenge, the question of the church still being relevant in the world. Indeed, the Reverend Diane Moffitt, who is president of our own Presbyterian Mission Agency, asks, if we were to close our doors tomorrow, who besides our members would miss us? American culture has changed dramatically over the last several decades. The church is no longer the center of American life. Some express concern about the very future of the church. And statistics show that Christianity is declining across every demographic. The number of adults who do not identify with any religion is rising. And the general public no longer sees the church as a relevant or even helpful force in American life. These statistics are disheartening and distressing. Makes a person want to throw the towel in. But these statistics are also something else. They are a great opportunity. We are a hopeful people. We are a joyful people. We are a purposeful people, and we cannot keep that to ourselves. People within these walls and without are hurting and disconnected. Socially wired humans hunger for a sense of community. By truly connecting with people and demonstrating our faith, we, the church, are declaring whose we are. And we are declaring what we know, that the church is relevant, the church is needed, and it is our task to show the world that truth. And guess what? I am the church. And you are the church, and we are the church together. Where can you go that you are not the church? Engagement is life-giving, not only to the least of these we are called to serve, but also to ourselves. How many of us feel our wells running dry with all the demands of modern life? And then how many of us feel our cups filled to overflowing when we encounter a stranger and welcome them, or a hungry person and feed them. Church work is the fulfilling work that heals us as we seek to heal the world around us. Trinity does engagement so well, we can feel great about the work that we do in and around our church. But the race is long and the need is great. There are other ways we can continue our engagement in the local and national community. Many of you know that Trinity Presbyterian Church has been working with the Industrial Areas Foundation, as well as other faith communities and civic leaders, to identify areas of concern in our neighborhoods. We are looking forward to continuing this work with IAF, whether it be in areas with polluted air and the people who breathe it, or public education and the children who need it, or rising homeless populations right here in Arvada. We can come together and engage in the world to meet the needs of our community at the local level. At the national level, the General Assembly of our denomination has made mission the focus for 2019-2020. One avenue that PCUSA and the Presbyterian Mission Agency is focusing on is called the Matthew 25 Initiative. And will Abby please stand and show her cool shirt? That is the logo showing our Matthew 25 Initiative. There are other Matthew 25 movements outside of our denomination, but PCUSA's initiative seeks to provide a framework for doing mission together. And this initiative calls on Presbyterians to actively engage in the world so that our faith is energized. You know they call us the Frozen Chosen, right? That's our little moniker. But we're asking to thaw out, right? They're asking us to thaw out and actively engage in the world and doing mission together so that we can be energized and we can be awakened to new possibilities. If it's manageable, if it's imaginable, it's achievable. There are three areas of focus underpinning the Matthew 25 movement, and churches that accept this invitation to be a Matthew 25 church commit to working on at least one of three areas of focus. The focus areas are building congregational vitality, which does not refer to numbers, but spiritual strength, by challenging congregations to deepen their faith and get joyfully engaged in their community and the world, dismantling the systems of poverty, and eradicating structural racism. This is a movement that is currently being explored by our own presbytery. And in fact, there are many congregations and Presbyterians already doing this Matthew 25 work. Caring for the least of these takes a mission focus, a desire to connect, and a willingness to put ourselves out there to meet Jesus face to face. And it takes prayer. Prayer for the energizing and sustaining breath of the Holy Spirit, and prayer that God will provide us with the tools we need to care for Jesus' family. As our congregation serves our community's needs, we need to know that we are not alone. Our sister congregations across the nation are doing the same. Let us be united by our mission. Let the word spread that we are a relevant force for change in our neighborhoods and the world. Let us continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in Arvada. We are called to bear one another's burdens. We have an individual and collective responsibility to care for one another, which we cannot ignore. God delights in our faithfulness, and the evidence of our faith is what we do for the least of these. Engage. Please pray with me. Creator God, you created the heavens and the earth. You created us for love. Refresh our spirits that we may go out into the world you made and do what you would have us do. Care for our brothers and sisters. Send your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Give us compassion towards the whole human family. Strengthen the will of those who work for justice and peace. Lead all nations into the path of peace. And give us that peace which the world cannot give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.